Can the congregation say amen?
Amen.
It means we all agree. We're marching that way. We're all in that way together, marching to Zion.
Amen.
So thankful to be here this morning. God has blessed each and every one of us by raising us from our beds of slumber, giving us a brand new day that we make a conscious decision to come to the house of the Lord. We can indeed rejoice with that. And I'm looking, this is truly that time of season in which our pews are filled. Why? Because it's Christ's Mass. Look at you. Oh, excuse me. I would think the house would be filled because it's Christ's Mass. Mass means together. And this, and God says together upon the first day of the week. And so when you do what God says do, when you come here upon the first day of the week to sing, pray, commune, give, and be taught the wonderful words of God, you are indeed massing in the name of the Lord. Why? Because Christ is head of this body, the church. He's the first begotten from the dead, for it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. And so we can rejoice and be thankful that we are doing what God says do. In that case, we are in keeping with God the Father through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit leading us in the way we should go, marching to Zion, that beautiful city of God. Thank you, Brother Little, for that wonderful song service. Songs of praise, spiritual songs, singing, making melody in our hearts unto the Lord. And that's what's acceptable in this Christ Mass we have here this morning in the Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Isn't that a good thing?
Yes.
You say amen to that?
Amen.
We're marching to Zion, the beautiful, beautiful Zion. Before, without further delay, I'm going to keep the tradition of our beloved brother Carter and petition our Heavenly Father in prayer as we humble ourselves at this moment and go to our Heavenly Father. Our God and our Father, in Jesus' name we rejoice. Thank you, thank you, thank you for heaven's greatest gift, our beloved Savior, to die for the sins of mankind. Thank you for raising him up with all power and authority, that he sits on the throne and rules from above, making intercession on behalf of the saints. We rejoice and will rejoice at this fellowship we have, members in particular of the body of Christ. Thank you, Father. Be with us this morning as I deliver this message. Give me the words of inspiration from your pages that will edify, build up, encourage us, continue in this straight and narrow way. Bless all of those under the sound of my voice who love the Lord in sincerity. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen.
It was read into your hearing this morning from the book of James, the first chapter. I dealt with the 14th and the 15th verse, but to give you a little narrative on this, we're dealing with some first century Jewish Christians who would love the Lord. And I think this is especially applicable this time of year with our Christians, because we're living in a period of time in which we've been allowed to prosper. I can remember there was a time in Chicago when black folk came up from the South and they had came to the steel mills where they can prosper. And in doing so, they worked hard and they educated their children, and their children are now doctors, lawyers, and Indian chiefs. And they're living very well right now, and we're prospering because of what the commitment of a few faithful servants of God. I remember the church used to flourish. Why? Because we're in obedience to our God and our Father in heaven. What has happened? What has happened? The challenges of life, we become comfortable in ourselves, thinking that, oh, look how far I've bought myself. And we forget the humble roots in which we came from and with the sacrifices that were made on our behalf to get you to where you are today. We can thank God. We look back on our lives with the great sacrifices that were made, such as on the day of Pentecost when the apostles came together and the Holy Spirit was poured out. In the first chapter of Acts, if you study your Bible, we find that Christ rose up and there were two men in white apparel saying, "Why stand you here gazing? This same Jesus of which you see taken up is going to come back in like figure." So they went back to Galilee there. They went back and they in that upper room, and it says those apostles were there and the Holy Spirit was poured out. Let me tell you something. Once this gospel was preached, it says 3,000 souls were added to and daily such as should be saved. And to bring us in, that's Acts the second chapter, and to bring us into a more of a narrative of this James before I get here, what happened with these Jews is that salvation was theirs because of Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. He says, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for remission of your sins, and then you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." After they went down into that water and their sins were washed away, when they rose up, they were ready to continue what? In faith. And in faith was in Acts 2 and 47, which is in keeping with what? The apostles' doctrine. Why? Because the apostles that received that glorious, miraculous gift of the Holy Spirit and were able to instruct them in the way that they should go. And it says, and they grew and had favor. These were the roots of the church in the first at the first day of Pentecost when the church was established. And how beautiful it was as this gospel spread. And these devout Jews out of every nation heard the apostles speak. And they were all glory. It was glorifying. And they said 3,000 were added to and daily such as should be saved. Now, there were devout men out of every nation, devout Jews out of every nation under the heaven, the scripture says. And they all heard them speak in the language wherein they were preaching the wonderful works of God. How glorious was that day. To bring us up to James, it says this is about AD after death 49 or 50. Now we're looking at latter generations. Those who rejoiced in the Lord and went on and raised families, went through the persecutions, and now they've had families. And their families are prospering, doing well. They're starting to fit into society. Why? Because they've been exercised in the Holy Spirit. The persecution is still there. We all have our trials and tribulations. But it's nice to be comfortable and have a house, raise the kids, have enough to feed to feed everybody and have a nice car and to have a few niceties, right? It's nice to fit in, to be Mr. Somebody or Mrs. Somebody, right? Nice to have a good quality education and go on and get your 2 degrees, get your 3 degrees. I know a person got 2 doctorates. You know what I mean? Go on and get your degrees and be happy. But the realization is that because they wanted to fit in, when we look at the book of James, they needed wisdom. We all need the wisdom of God because we come into this, what am I to do? It's that time of year where the world is doing what they do, but I as a Christian, what do I do? Thus, when we look at the book of James, which is James, the first chapter, it says, let me get that real quick for us. This is from my study Bible, NIV. And it tells us, it says, James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the same James you'll find in Acts 15 and 13. And it says, to the 12 tribes scattered among the nations, greetings. Those are the ones you'll find on the day of the 12 tribes of Judah, the same ones you'll find on the day of Pentecost. Greetings. It's the latter time he's writing to them. Verse 2, it says, consider it joy, my brethren and sisters, this is a different reading here, where your Bible should say this mean the same thing. Whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. And perseverance is a spiritual virtue in which you derive from persevering, staying in the way in which you were taught. It says, let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete. One thing about the Spirit of God in you, you're considered once you come in the Spirit of God as a newborn babe. And the scripture tells the newborn babe to desire the sincere milk of the word that he may grow thereby. But God does not expect you to stay at a childlike stage in the doctrine of Christ. There is meat to be had. There is meat for the master's use. There is in this first century church, when you look at the foundation of the apostles, as it says in the prophets, Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone, we understand that this church had to grow. It couldn't stay in an infant state. It had to grow in the grace and the admiration of the Lord and the understanding of application of spiritual principles to the problems of life. And so these trials would come. But to persevere through these trials would be to ask God for the knowledge needed in order to apply to these afflictions. And so it says in verse 5, if any of you lack wisdom, you should ask God, who gives graciously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. We're living in a day and age, I was talking with some people at the job, where I think we would be full right now with all the festivities going on. I'll tell you, I'm pretty worn out right now. You know why? Because it's been such a festive week between the Thanksgiving and the Christmas, and now it's going to roll into New Year, and everybody's going to be decorating and carrying about in the streets and buying gifts and all these different things, and it wears you down. Well, what is the Christian to do? To give in to the pressures more so of society? He must ask God for wisdom. God is able to guide you through the difficulties of down here below. When all the powers against you say, oh, you're all right. You're doing good. You don't have to go to church on Sunday. You don't have to come to Christ's true mass. Why? Because we've created a mass of our own. And more of us are doing that than those who are in the house of the Lord. And that's just a fact, y'all. But God knows this, and God has allotted for this, and God still tells the individual who is faithful and on their road to glory, marching to Zion, that beautiful city of God which we hope to obtain, to what? Upon the first day of the week, the disciples came together to break bread, so to come and to assemble in the true mass, which is of God. Which we find upon the first day of the week, the disciples came together to break bread. In verse of James 1, in verse 6, it says, but when you ask, you must believe and not doubt, because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. That person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Such a person is double-minded and unstable in all they do. We ask in faith. What is faith? According to Hebrews 11, it gives you a definition of men of faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. It says, by this, our fathers obtained the good report. There's no excuse. There are those who have gone on before us. There are those who have laid the foundation. There are those who struggled in the church. That's why Paul told Timothy, what? Make elders. Why? Spiritual brethren who have qualifications, which are able in this foundation to build the right type of stones, to build you up, encourage, and point you in the way. There's no need to be lost. There's no need to lean on the weak and the beggarly elements of the world, where it says in the world, all that's in the world is the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. We're either stuck up on one or the other if you're not in the Lord. Yes. Check yourself. Check yourself. We're living in a day and age where all these tests are still upon us. You don't have to obey God. You can lean on your own understanding. You are the ideologies and ideologies of men are all you need to have your comfort in your den and your room. It's a falsehood. We're just pilgrims passing through finite, temporal limitations, and certainly finite. We're going to be, before you know it, this will be snuffed out like a season, the scripture says. Already when I look upon us, not to be such a sidebar, when I look amongst us of those who are not sitting in the audience because they have already passed on, I can rejoice on one hand, and on the other hand, I have to take a circumspect look and check myself just in case Brother Randy dies before you see him next Lord's Day. To know that what he was in the way. And so we all can rejoice and be glad. One of the most awful things in the world is to see a person lost. A person who have become so comfortable in this life that they defy, try to dare stand up and defy God. The Holy Scriptures, written to guide us, our Creator, those who shaped and molded us, who breathed into your nostrils the breath of life, and you became a living soul. To the one who had to describe what you are in order for you to even think that you're anything. And certainly the one who sent the Lord and Savior to redeem us from ignorance. To our adoption of his sons. Yes, yes, yes. And so, these pressures nevertheless are on us. I have a lesson here, which I hope to stay timely and within the frame of it in order to bring this, put it where we can get it, as they say. That's what they say about the papers. Put it where they can get it. And so I hope you're still with me as we look at this book of James with these Jewish Christians of this relaxed century where they were able to prosper and became a little, had some pressures from society, but they became a little, you might say, given to the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, the pride of life. Verse 7, that person should not expect to receive anything of God. God does not want you to waver. He does not want you to say, oh God, I need, and then run back to the world and do what the world says do. There's too much of that. We obey the world and we ask God. It doesn't make sense to me. Run to the world. I want to be of the world. I want to look like the world. I want to feel like the world. I want to do what the world does. And this is men lift you up in this sight. Oh, you're somebody in the sight of God, but you have lost your soul. Your soul is in jeopardy. You're ignorant of what God wants you to do, how God wants you to serve him. The highest organization on the face of the earth is the church. The most, the number one thing that makes any person who is ignorant or illiterate more so want to learn how to read is to understand what God says to do. And certainly, if we look at our history, we haven't got to go a generation or two back. The South is still back there, more so that history is still back there. Somebody had to lay down their lives for us. Scripture says, give credit where credit is due. Oftentimes, we forget where we're from. And so when we look into the law of liberty, God simply says, you're from me. Come back to me. Don't be double-minded. I want you to ask me in assurance and faith because I'm able to sustain you in your time of need. I'm able to give you a clear understanding of what you should do because God does not want your soul to be lost. But that one who does ask wavering, not going to receive anything of God, the scripture says. Verse 9. Believers in humble circumstances ought to take pride in their high position, but the rich should take pride in their humility. Let me take a good look. Wait one moment, one moment. Excuse me, that's, that's it. Verse 9. This is a study Bible, so it reads a little different from a, you might say, a poetic Bible, such as the 16th century English, in which a lot of times you like to read because it's the these and the thous, or even just a English translation, which is pretty plain. But nevertheless, verse 11, for the sun rises with scorching heat and withers. The plants, it blossoms, fail, it says falls, and it is beautiful. Beauty is destroyed. In the same way, the rich will fade away even while they go about their business. You know what? If you read the scriptures at all in the book of Ecclesiastes, it's very interesting. It tells you about our riches and chance in this life. And it's pretty much you work all your life hard, you know, you leave it to your next generation. They sign a contract and blow it all in a minute. You know, these things happen. You know, that's just the tragedy of living down here below. You know, what you work and earn, that's what you are accountable for your own deeds done in your body. And you're accountable for yourself, but you can't be accountable for that next man. All you can do is stay in that way yourself and hope you're an influence and have done your job to the point in which it influences the next person, your child, whoever it might be, to want to stay in this way. Because we all have a choice when it comes to serving God. Yes, we do. And it says, especially if we have prospered as these Jews had prospered in that century and became comfortable with themselves and actually started giving in and needed wisdom because the world was waiting there to take them off course. If you take a look at verse 12, it says, blessed is the one who perseveres under trial because having stood the test, that person will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love him. Well, aren't we blessed? That crown of life. Well, some people want it all now. They want their flowers now. You know, woe to that person. They want their flowers now because God says you're not going to get it now. You will get it after you've endured the trials. Trials are something that not a lot of us want to endure. But still and yet, oh, I have so much here pertaining to James. Excuse me a moment. Because James deals with it's basically dealing with a double-minded man, tell you the truth, because it's dealing in three, it deals with the tongue, the tongues of man. I'm going to try to stay on course with this lesson and point us in the way that we should go, especially during the holiday seasons where the tests of men's wills are strong in our lives to go another way other than what God has prepared us to do. If the true Christ masters, if people would do it what God said do, this auditorium would be filled. But once again, I'd rather go to heaven with a faithful few than go to that other place with the lost many. You know? And so God told us in those days, just like in the days of Noah, it says people are going to be given and taken in marriage. They're going to be doing what they do normally until that ark door is closed. God wants us to come inside. He doesn't want us to stay outside. He wants us in the body of Christ where salvation is. You know, we look, take a quick look at James, the third chapter, 14 through 16. When our speech is motivated by Satan, and more so it looks at really and give you a narrative of that, it says it is full of, and this is what we're finding more and more. I have this conversation also. More and more, if you ride the buses, if you listen to your phones, your cassette players, whatever you have to listen to what's going on in society, it's full of bitter envy. Have you noticed that lately? There used to be a time when you rode the bus, your mother would tell you what? Clean yourself up and be at your best, what? Be at your best because you're in public. You know what I mean? People are listening to you, and you belong to me. So I want you clean, and I want you on your best behavior. Now all you hear on the bus is bitter envying. Have you noticed that? This is a sign of the times, church. And we can lock ourselves off in our little secure atmospheres and not to say, well, I don't know what they're doing on the bus. The realization is that the world's getting worse. Yes. It's not getting better. You even have a president now. You know, I'm praying for him. The scripture says pray for all men, especially for those in authority. And so I'm prayerful for him. But the realization is that he's leading a group of people who believe in profanity and all kind of indignities. And that's not upright. That's not the way I've been taught according to the scriptures. And so the envy, the self-ambition, the earthly concerns and ideas, disorder and evil is rapid. You're hearing it. You're seeing it. And just wait until January 1st when this marijuana gets legalized like that, whatever they call that stuff. But we've already seen the effects of what alcohol does on our society. Wait until you see what this other stuff reaps on your society. Well, I guess the insurance companies will get rich. So, James, but nevertheless, that's the heart of the individual. Check yourselves, because that's all we can do. I'm not trying to point the finger. I've got to say, when I look into the perfect law of liberty, I have to understand what Randall's doing. How am I acting myself? When I speak, do I speak with thus says the Lord, or am I going on with bitter ending and strife and the ambitions of the world and concerns and ideas that when the paper offers you these different things, don't give you a solution. They just tell you, this is what's happening, but no solution. I like solutions. And this was the problem with the church in the first century there. They had these obstacles to deal with once they became orientated to the society, relaxed enough to be able to make a decision. They needed wisdom from God. Now, James 3, 17 through 16, look at the heart, because it deals with God and his wisdom, which is full of mercy, love for others. It says peace, consideration for others, submission, sincerity, impartiality, and righteousness. Now these things, if you see any trait of this, even in the world, you can bet it was of God and they got it from somebody. And generally it's from someone who taught them and brought them up in the way that they should go. You don't just get this through osmosis, okay, this is the way I am. No, you have to learn these things. The scripture tells a parent to raise up a child in the way it should go. So when it grows older, it should not depart from it. If you see any hint of godliness, it's because it's God's spirit that has been working through someone. Give credit to whom credit is due. The book of Ecclesiastes 5, 1 through 2 says, guarding your steps means to be careful. When we enter the house of God, we should have the attitude of being open and ready to listen to God, not to dictate to him what we think he should do. God is God in heaven. His ways are so far above our ways as the heaven is above the earth. When we come to God's house, it's so important that we listen. Listen to what God has to say. Because God speaks. He's still speaking today. It's God who has made man. We're just conduits from which the Spirit flows. God's word is alive and well. And it will accomplish what it's sent to do. It will only obey. It's oftentimes we come to God's house to challenge God. Can you believe that? I come to God's house to be defiant of God. Doesn't make much sense. You would think we would come to learn and submit. and to see what thus saith the Lord. The scripture says, try the spirit by the spirit, whether it be of God, for many false prophets are coming to the world. When you look at Acts, the 17th chapter, they'll say the men in Berea were more faithful than those in Thessalonica because they studied after the apostles daily to see if what they were saying were true. And so it is God's spirit in which we look into to get an understanding of what his will is to work in our lives. And so when we come to God's house, and that's why our Sunday school should be full. That's why we should what? Provide programs for our youth. That's why we should, when we come together to plan for the works of the church, it should always be inclusive of our neighborhood. Why? Because the first work is to seek and to save the lost. And idleness will never do. When we come to God, and God tells you what to do, be found doing it. Don't waver in it. Well, I did it once. I got to do it again. Well, you know, that's pretty rough. We went out there. We went once, but once was pretty tough out there. God, he's building you up through that test to make you stronger for the next experience when you go out there into your neighborhood. Ooh, so much to say. 1 Kings 3:9 says, give therefore thy servant an understanding. He says, here to judge thy people that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge so great a people? Speaking back in the Old Testament of dealing with the children of Israel. And even now, we should, in our words, if the scripture says at the time we ought to be teachers, over in Corinthians, we have need someone to teach us again the first principles of oracles of God. We need discernment. Discernment so that we might be able to what? Teach and bring up those in the way that they should go in God's house. When we ask God, this is what God wants us to do. He wants us to be productive Christians. And he wants us to guard ourselves as such. To ask him, he'll give. John 8:44. Oh, wow. This is that, you know, you're of your father, the devil, he says. And the lust of your father, he says, will ye do? He was the murderer, and you know, we have to understand these things, you know, keep it real with them. The devil's a real person, it's a spirit. And he's active and he's well. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaks, he says, when he speaks a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. Well, you mean to tell me there's another way? Yes, another way, and that's the way. Nothing but lies out there. So it would behoove us to seek God for understanding. The attitude and the action of these elders, it says, clearly identified them as followers of Satan. Now, you're talking about the New Testament church where they had established elders, and once again, that's why we must prove everything according to the Spirit, because not all were of God. And a lot of people like to take that because they see men who are just men or not in the way or told a lie, and they like to run from God. That's no excuse to run from God. God wants you to ask him so that you'll know how to deal with these. And that's one of the biggest things in these last days. There's so much to say. I could take that down a couple of roads, but I still want to men are fallible. Men are fallible. All men have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And that's just a fact. And there's some, even in the scriptures, who turn from the way. Hymenaeus, and there's another guy over there, Titus, more so, who turned from the way. That should not stop you from asking God, what must I do to be saved? What would you want me to do, Father? Because my soul is at stake, and I need guidance as a child of God. Proverbs 4:23-24 tells us, put away from thee a forward mouth, and a perverse lips, but put far from thee. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Our heart. What is your heart? When you look, take a circumspective look and look at your heart. There's a song that says, I just dropped there to see what condition my condition was in. You know, we need to take a look at our heart and see what condition it is. Is it in obedience with God's word? Have we asked God to the point in which we sought out and studied? We live in such a great country where all the libraries are there for us, and now you can Google anything. If you have a question about a scripture or what God says about it, you can Google it now. There's Bible apps. There's no excuse. God is coming. Christ is coming back. And he's made it so simple for you to be saved till you have no excuse when you stand before him. You have no excuse for a flippant tongue. Oh, man, and some of us, I'll admit me first, you know, I gotta work on myself. Because when it comes to driving, you can hardly go and wait until this dope gets rapid. Can't go a block without almost swearing to somebody. You know, that driving lets us be in our little solitude spot. And so when we're in our little solitude spot, I ain't got to think about nobody but me getting from A to Z, and that's just me. And so we have to be so careful, because when we're with ourselves and think no one else is listening, we think we can get away with being flipped of the tongue. With our tongue. We try to get away with it, you know, when they get cut off and all. It's all out there. But that's the world. And God knows those who are his, and God is able to give you what you need in order to have the victory over these different pressures of society this day and age. Hebrews, and looking at Jews, the book of Hebrews is dealing with a bunch of Jews who are under persecution, who look back to the Old Testament thinking, well, if I go back to the Old Testament, then they won't persecute me. They won't drag my family out. They won't deny me anything. I can live in peace. All I got to do is deny Christ. All I got to do is say I'm under Judaism more so and not under Christ, and I'll be okay. And so in the book of Hebrews, the fifth chapter, verse 12, 13, and 14, just look at it. It says, For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again the first principles of God, of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk, and not strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of God of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those whom by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. And so, church, when we look at the book of James, there's so much to say. It's speaking to the church. And it's speaking to us even now. Then we ask God, let's get busy being doers. If you read on in James, it'll tell you that, yeah, man may say I have faith. Well, we like to think that we have faith. It says, but faith without works is dead being alone. It says, show me your faith without your works, and I'll show you my faith by my works. For faith alone is dead. It's time for us to get busy. We wonder why our pews are not full. Lord, don't worry about it. You just be faithful. Be faithful in Christ. And believe me, when Christ returns, he's going to save you. And I guarantee you ain't going to be looking to the left or to the right, wondering why someone else is not there. You're just going to be so happy that you entered in. This is going to be a joyous day. And let's remember those who've laid the foundation before us, who've gone on in that way. It's so important to remember them. Who laid their life down and brought us up in love that we may have something and be somebody. It's all right to prosper. There's nothing wrong with prospering. What do you do with your prosperity? God is not a God that need to be tempted to be worshipped with man's hands. So God does not need your materialism because he created it all. But God does desire you. He desires you to worship him. There's so much to say. I think I've said enough, really. I can go on and on and on. But our beloved brother Herman Jackson taught me to be timely. He's a brother who's gone on now, but in faith when he was here, he did so much good. He made full use of his time. And you wouldn't find him involved in gossip or anything else in the congregation. People thought, oh, he sits down front here. He doesn't come to the back and shake hands like we thought. We think he should do. He simply stayed out of the mess. And if you wanted to come to him, he was always open, honest, and he taught me to keep it timely. Keep it timely, give the church something to feed on, especially in this time of the season. I think we need this lesson in James. You can look further into there and dig into there. Our lessons, come to our Bible classes. Be on time for the Bible classes. Study your Bible at home. James says, blessed is the, I mean, it's Psalms. The first chapter said, blessed is the man who walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doeth he meditate day and night. And he should be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaves also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. That's what we need. We need to petition God in faith. And when we get what God, when God answers us, apply these spiritual principles to the problems of life and have the victory over the world. And stand firm, because it's God that's going to judge, not man, but it's going to be God that judges. And we want to be found right in the sight of God. Faith does come by hearing. Where do you have to hear? That Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah, who died for the sins of mankind. The one that was before the world began, was prophesied would come to redeem man. Isn't it interesting how God took one man once told me, he says, well, if I want to know anything about Christ's war, so he was a Jew, I'll ask the Jews. Let me tell you something. It's interesting how God took Father Abraham, was a Gentile, bought a Jewish nation from his loins in order to secure the Gentiles and the Jews. And so the Jews, if you ask them, they're going to point you back to Father Abraham, which is a Gentile. Thanks be to God that he sent our Lord and Savior to die for your sins. So they point you to what? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has been poured out. It's for you to have and to know now. And so faith does come by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. How can you believe in who you've never seen or heard? You've never seen God. And certainly if you've never received his word or listened to his word or hearkened to it, you've never heard him. He says he's a preacher. So you hear the wonderful words of inspiration and salvation is yours. Do you believe that Jesus died for your sins? That Jesus is the Christ and Messiah? It's interesting when we find out who we really are. We're not just flesh and blood. We're souls. We're living souls created in the image of God. By one man, sin came upon all men. But by this last Adam, he became what? A quickening spirit that can quicken us back into a spiritual relationship, a higher level of consciousness and understanding who we are, who we belong to, and where we're destined for. It's better than any sci-fi movie, I'm telling you that, by any means. The scripture says, once you hear the gospel, then you must believe. Christ said, lest you believe that I am he, who? The Messiah, the Savior. You should all likewise perish. I don't want to perish. I want to live. I want to know who I am, where I came from, and where I'm going. What I should do here, and where I'm going to go. You can know that. I believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. For he came, this is all noted, that he came and died for our sins. This isn't rhetoric. This is history. It's interesting. The Bible says, go. If you go there architecturally, you'll find it. Go and dig. You know, God has spoken. To repent is to turn around from our worldly ideologies and ideologies and receive Christ. Receive what God says. He says, repent and be baptized. Why? When we learn that we are at a guilty distance from God, we're outside of the church, outside of the body of Christ, and are not saved, we need to repent. That's the step we have to take. Repent of living out there in this idiotic world. And come on to Christ. Come on home where God wants you. To hear what God has to say to Jesus the Christ, to believe that he is the Christ, to repent of your sins. The scripture says, with the heart, man believes unto righteousness. Righteousness is to walk upright and justified by the word of God. Do you believe that you need to walk upright and justified by God's word? With the heart, man believes unto righteousness. And with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. We confess many things and have confessed many things. But will you confess that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God? It's a simple thing. It's not so hard to do. You haven't got to move a mountain. You haven't got to go to school for 10 years. You ain't got to get a degree in it. All you have to do is confess. I believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. The scripture says, hearing to baptism does now save us. Not the putting off the filth of the flesh, but the answer to a good conscience in the sight of God. You know, in the days of Noah, when the ark was preparing, the gospel is being preached. God says, told if you go to Genesis, I believe it's the third chapter, he told Noah to go into the ark. He didn't say go into the ark. He said, come into the ark if you read that. You know why? Because God was in the ark. And that's where the safety is. God is in the church. The church he established in the name of Jesus Christ. We need to come into the safety, into the ark. And you do that by being baptized and your sins being washed away and you becoming a new creature in Christ Jesus. If you'll do that, then you can continue in this apostle's doctrine And he'll show you the ways of salvation. He'll show you the way to heaven. You'll become a child of God. And so at this time, the invitation is extended to anyone who is outside to come in. And this lesson is yours. If you'll only ask God in faith, God will bless you, answer you, and you will stand, what? Justly in the sight of God. And we're going to stand, sing the song of invitation at this time. I beckon to you, come whosoever will, and take the waters of life freely.